the first thing I wanted to ask you in depth about was climate change and sea level rise. A year ago, we weren't talking about this as much, but it's something that we're seeing more and more of in our own backyard here in South Florida. What are Democrats in the House doing to address these issues?
Well, first of all, it's terrific that we're even talking about this now. This is, for those of us who live in South Florida especially, this is a vitally important issue. We know what will happen as the seas continue to rise as a result of climate change if we don't take some action now. President gave a major speech on climate change recently, and I don't think he received the credit that he deserves for reminding people what's at stake here and reminding people that this is not a partisan issue. Virtually every scientist in the world acknowledges that climate change is something that we have to take seriously, and we have to work hard to reverse. And that means cutting down on emissions, and that means greater fuel efficiency standards. There are some great things happening in the corporate world, just to identify renewables and the sorts of purchasing power that can be exercised. All of these are approaches that we need to take. We have to take it seriously. Unfortunately, some of my colleagues refuse to even acknowledge what the science tells us. We have to marginalize them, and we have to move forward on what we know to be the case.
Well, we know New York City is going to spend or wants to spend $20 billion to shore up in the event of another Sandy. Is enough being done in our own backyard by our local politicians, our federal politicians, our state politicians to see that happens?
Well, listen, there are efforts that my colleagues and I are involved in, again, to try to address this on a national level, certainly through catastrophic insurance, helping people understand that, as they do now, that disasters, natural disasters, strike all over the country, and that it's not just hurricanes that hit Florida. So from an insurance standpoint, we're dealing with it. But you can't just assume that we're going to deal with climate change by building larger and larger protections on our coastlines and by shoring up the building codes. It's important that we do that, but we also have to take meaningful steps to reduce global warming, to address climate change. That's something that's going to have to happen at every level and by not just by politicians, but by individual Americans as well.
How do you get a national cat fund on the radar screen in Congress?
Phil, this is... It was the argument was when this first came up that people in the central part of the country weren't going to be interested in helping Floridians who have to deal with hurricanes. Well, we've now seen flooding, fires, earthquakes. There are natural disasters that strike every place in the country. So there's this greater realization that this is something that we'd be better off dealing with together. That's how you get it to move forward.
On to some other issues. You've made hunger a priority, working on legislation to increase food stamp benefits. You're one of two dozen members of Congress that took a challenge to live on $4.50 a day for food. That's the average of a budget for a food stamp recipient. How did that work out for you?
It was hard. It was hard. It's not just a question of whether you can find food. I mean, you can. But it's hard to get fresh fruit and fresh vegetables. It's really easy to get processed food because that happens to be the least expensive food that there is. But you find yourself thinking about eating, and that's what happened to me. It makes you stop to recognize that for millions of Americans and especially tragically for kids, trying to figure out how they're going to get by every day is a real challenge. And there are kids who go to school hungry. It affects not just them and their families, but it affects the classroom and it affects the school and the community. And that's why I think that what happened in the House a couple of weeks ago when some of my colleagues across the aisle wanted to gut the food stamps program would be so devastating. We live in the richest country on Earth. Certainly we can make as our goal eliminating hunger, or at least eliminating hunger among kids. That's what we try to highlight by doing this, and There are a lot of people who paid close attention to what we were doing, and I think we saw that after the bill failed.
Well, full disclosure, we're in a Starbucks in Boca Raton. It's not much hunger around here, but do we have a food crisis that's unseen in South Florida?
There are so many people who said to me when I went on this SNAP challenge, why is this something that you're doing? You represent Boca and Del Rey and Palm Beach and Broward County. Why does this matter here? The fact is, it's a very significant problem in South Florida. It happens within our community, and it's something that we have to take seriously because, as I said, it affects the communities that we live in, our neighbors. It's something that we tried to highlight, and there are such real needs right here in South Florida that have to be addressed.
Other domestic issues, Congressman, the Supreme Court struck down the Defense of Marriage Act recently. When is the time when gay couples in Florida can expect that they can be legally married here? What is the next step for gays and lesbians who would like to take that next step here?
Hopefully soon. This is a question about equality. It is a question, as the court put it, it's a question about dignity. And I applaud my colleague, Congresswoman Ross Layton, my friend from Miami, who started a really important discussion, I think, just recently about the need for the Republican Party here in Florida, especially to start to view these as really significant issues to grapple with. It's fantastic now that people living in almost a third of the people in this country live in states where they have marriage equality. But that's not full equality, and full equality has to be the goal in all states, including here in Florida. It is a question of dignity. It's a question of rights. And you can't, as the court said, you can't write people out of their constitutional rights. And I hope that here in Florida the discussion will pick up in a significant way. I know that it may be a tough discussion for some to have, but when it comes to equality and dignity, that's the kind of discussion, and I think these are the sorts of goals that we need to have as a nation.
So we're not there yet, basically. We're not there yet in Florida, whereas some states have legalized, you know, gay marriage. We had a referendum here in 2008, voted on and approved by more than 60% of the voters in the state, and I think you were maybe in the state house at the time, the state senate rather at the time, so you remember that. How do you get people, how do you overturn that? How do you take the shut the door on the closet after it's been opened?
Well, there's been a dramatic change in the polling. There's been a dramatic change in people's attitudes, even over the past 5 years, as this issue has been debated more publicly, as people have had an opportunity to recognize that this is really about equality and about dignity and about people in committed relationships simply being able to express that commitment to the community, you've seen a change. And I think the same thing is true here in Florida. And I think we have to recognize that change and move this debate forward.
On immigration, you know you're going to be dealing with that in some form or fashion. What can Democrats do to encourage passage of immigration reform when it seems like your colleagues in the House on the GOP side may not even take up the Senate proposal, which passed overwhelmingly in that body? I mean, it just shows the division between the two branches here.
What it shows at this point is an unwillingness in the leadership in the House to recognize where we are with this issue. The Senate passed this overwhelmingly in a bipartisan way. The business community, the high-tech community, the agriculture community, the university community, and immigration advocates, all of them have come together because they understand that this is that providing a path to citizenship at the same time that we increase enforcement at the borders, that as we do those things, it's going to benefit the families, it's going to benefit our communities, it's going to benefit our economy, and it's going to reduce our deficit. So I would suggest that my friends in the leadership in the House, that the Speaker needs to recognize that the country has recognize why this is so important, he needs to do the same. He needs to bring the bill up. If he brought the bill up for a vote, I am confident that he would get a majority of the House of Representatives. That should be the goal. The House isn't a body run exclusively for the benefit of one party. It's run for the benefit of the country. If he brings the bill up, he'll get a majority, and I hope that he does.
Well, Ileana Ross-Layton told me just yesterday that the House is going to have its own version. House leaders will introduce their own version. Now, you not knowing what's going to be in that version, well, you do.
I do. I serve on the Judiciary Committee. And we spent the past 2 weeks working on different pieces of immigration reform. One of them criminalizes immigrants. One of them withholds wages until people leave to go back to the countries that they came from. One of them ends family reunification. I mean, at the same time that the Senate and the country are moving forward, the House has been moving backward. So I think there needs to be a lot of pressure brought to bear on the Speaker and on my colleagues, who thus far seem to have decided that for some reason it's good politics for them to do something to alienate a large and important group in our country, and who seem to forget that we're a nation built on immigrants. That you know, my grandfather who sold fruit off of a cart in Chicago, you never could have imagined his son serving in Congress. It's probably true in some respect for all of my colleagues. It's the vibrancy of the immigrant experience that's made this country great. That's what they have to remember.
And one final thing that will continue to be discussed here in Florida is the federal government beginning to try to implement. Let me take that again. 3, 2, 1. And one final thing, Congressman, how does the federal government help the state of Florida implement the Affordable Care Act, which the funding for has still not been approved by the state legislature, you're well aware of. They say they don't want the federal money. Where do you go from here?
Well, first of all, Governor Scott and the legislature need to decide whether they want to help themselves. And the Affordable Care Act is moving forward. It's already moved forward, and the impact that it's had in stopping discrimination against people because of pre-existing conditions, and in letting kids stay on their parents' policies, all the things that the benefits that it's already provided. It's moving forward, and the exchanges are going to start, and there will be better access to insurance, and there will be bigger tax credits for small businesses, but the one thing that's really needed is the expansion of Medicaid funded by the federal government, not the state. Those dollars would come into our economy, would provide health care for the uninsured in Florida. It boggles my mind that our governor, who says that he is, talks constantly about economic development and he wants to be the jobs governor. The fact is, if we can provide coverage for the uninsured in Florida, that's going to help our economy dramatically. He says that he favors the expansion. He actually needs to do something about it. He needs to be a leader. Otherwise, there's just no reason to believe that he's committed to doing that.
Congressman, it's always good to see you. Thanks very much for your time. Happy holidays. Have a great summer.
Thanks. My pleasure. And enjoy the 4th. Have a great summer to you and all the listeners.
Great.